Power of God is so powerful that it can change lives, it can save souls. God is more interested in us today than anything else because we belong to Him. Why I say this by the grace of God, we look at this miracle God, the Lord Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago before Palm Sunday, and you know, we had Easter Sunday, and oh yes, we had the 16th. And then we had looked at the 5,000 that were fed. 5,000 people, plus, besides the men, women, and children, so over 15,000 people, with a group of 12 disciples, minus one who was a devil, who Jesus called Judas Iscariot. He was not a follower, he was just there for the money. And you had people today, they're there for all the wrong reasons. Now, people were fed, these 15,000 people were fed. Jesus had told them, it is time to go. I'm about my Father's business, and He told the people to go. But did the people actually leave? Sometimes people tell us, oh yes, but they mean something else. What was their motive? They wanted the food, and they wanted the medical attention. And so, you know, you just touched the garment of His hem, of His garment, people were healed. And the people were very full, very satisfied. Actually, there were 12 baskets of bread left over amongst the fish. So the disciples went and they gathered up what was left over. So you had a situation where they weren't going to leave. You know, it's just like going to a store. 70% off. Well, you know, you want to get there for the sale. The people's heart were not in the right place. They were there about the material part, not the spiritual. And, you know, we have to discern what are the wheats and what are the tares. You know, I remember years ago, going out in the field, harvest time. And I remember the farmer told me, he's a generational farmer. He's been there for over 100 years in Kansas many years ago. And he showed me the difference between a wheat and a tare. He says, but it's hard to look at just from the field standpoint. You have to go right up and look. And you could see the difference between the two. Both same in color and in height. But you have to be distinguishable. So with all these people, Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go up to the mountain and pray to my Father, which He did. And you had the people there who were mingling, and they kind of dispersed and went their own way. And I'm sure they were thinking, oh boy, you know, we should follow this King Jesus. We wanted to make Him king. Remember that. And last time we talked about this, and we look at verse 16, starting off here, but in verses 1 through 15, we see that they wanted to make Him king because, you know, we have this tyrannical government who's, you know, it's sad the United States is going that way too because people like the circuses like they do today. They like their television, their computers. They like the socialistic network that Roosevelt started, but now with Lyndon Johnson, remember that, with the free deal, and through LBJ, continued on through the 60s, and here we are now, the whole different generation of people, the entitled people. And so here we are today in the church today in 2023. It's no different than it was then and it is now. Free this, free that, and we want to be entertained. And we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Well, Jesus wasn't ready for that. And remember, you never get a free lunch. Nothing's for free in this world. There's always a price behind it. So we have to be careful about people who try to sell something that we know. So difference between a false disciple and a true disciple? Well, you know, there are a lot of variations, but yet one thing is very true, that they did not want to hear what Jesus could do for them. In other words, they wanted just what they could get for themselves. And that's how it is with today, when we have people that want the feel-good people, the people looking for pleasures, lover of pleasures instead of lovers of the Lord, the charismatic movement moving out like that. You know, give me a sign, give me a miracle, you know. Let's flash up the stage. Let's have some smoke. Let's have the light show going. And the music, can't tell the difference between the world's music and Christian music. It's very smoky, you know. It's a smoke screen. So, and the faith healers out there, oh, heal me, Jesus, and that's good enough. You know, we've heard stories about the shams of that going on. Thank God for the Word of God, for the doctrine that we hold so dear. And that doctrine comes from the Lord Jesus Christ through His Spirit and through His people as they were moved by the Spirit of God, penned the Word of God. Like it says in 1 Peter 1:21, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, Jesus is up in the mountain praying to His Father. He told His disciples to go to Capernaum, go by boat. And remember, the fourth miracle in John is what? The feeding of the 5,000. The fifth miracle is Jesus walking on the water, right? So when evening was now come, in verse 16, the disciples went down to the sea. So they did what they were supposed to do. Now, look at the parallel between the false disciples. I call them the false followers. Jesus told them to go. Go back to your homes. Remember, Jesus is there in the mountains speaking to His Father. Thank God today. You know, He knows what's going to happen a year from now. We all have plans. There was a couple who was married just the other day. They have plans. We all have plans. You know, people have plans coming home that aren't here right now, flying by plane and driving by car. But God knows. Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that wonderful? He knows our future. And so we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Jesus says, for each day has enough problems of their own. That's good enough for us, right? The disciples got into the boat. We're all in this today in that boat. We are there today. Some of us are there who will take care of feeding the others. Others are there to row. Can you imagine rowing those wooden boats? They were out there for 3 hours. 3 hours rowing that boat before the storm hit. They had to be some pretty strong guys. Plus, half of them had been fishermen too. So they knew what they were doing. And a lot of us today, we think we know what we're doing, but do we know what tomorrow holds? And what I'm exhorting you to today as true believers in Christ is to plan ahead, look ahead, be careful. You know, you never know what can happen. I'm not saying to live in fear, but live in faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Yes, fear the Lord, but remember to believe and walk by faith. So they went down to the seashore and entered into the ship, verse 17, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, which is on the other side. Now, Jesus told them to do that because He knew later on this chapter, chapter 6 refers to the feeding of 5,000, walking on water. It's got about 70 verses in there. And He knew that the Jewish leaders were going to come up and harass them, basically. And He knew the mobs, the crowds were going to come to Him. And He was praying to His Father for strength. By God's grace, we all need strength from day to day. I don't know why. I woke up this morning. I just felt so tired. I couldn't explain it. But I knew that I needed to pray. And, you know, sometimes the old body gets going. Other times it just wants to go. That's why you know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is what? Willing. Lord, get me going. Because this old body of mine just does not want to go. So they were out in the boat. They listened to the Lord. We got to be good listeners or else we lose it. And unfortunately, a lot of people have lost it today. So, and they went toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Now, they had thought, and this is the evening time, okay? The same day Jesus had fed the 15,000. He said, go down there, get in the boat, I will meet you. Didn't say when. He just told them, I will meet you. Okay? God's not in it for half promises. He's always with his promising, his promises. You know, you hear that song, Standing on the Promises of God? I like to sing Standing with the Promises of God. I just feel more comfortable with that. And knowing that my life is sure with him. So here they were, and it was evening time, and it was getting dark. Most fishermen, unless they have to go out somewhere, because where I pastored in Alaska, they would leave at a certain time to get to their fishing spot. The feds would give fishermen the license to fish in their spot to fish. And so they left. And they thought, well, you know, maybe if we leave now, we'll get over to Capernaum the next day. They had no idea that anything was going to go wrong. They had Jesus with them. So, and then the problem came. Now, the idea is that they had been roaring for, can you imagine this, roaring for about 3.5 hours? Because it says later on in this chapter that they had rowed 3 to 4 miles. And, you know, for every hour is a mile worth of rowing. Can we do that today? I don't think so. But spiritually speaking, we can do that with the Lord. The Lord can get us from one place to another. And he has. Some of you are here today by the grace of God because of inflated rubber tires that can get you down the road. And then an engine that will runs off of oil and gasoline and a spark plug and on and on and on gets you to and fro. We're very thankful for our transportation. And so they thought nothing more of it. And the sea arose by reason. And it says here of a great wind that blew. We used to call them in Alaska Willowall winds. And they would come out of nowhere. Driving that truck I have out there, remember on that island. And I remember driving down the road and the wind hit me so hard it slowed the truck down about 10, 20 miles an hour. And there was only 5 miles worth of asphalt on that island. But those winds would come up and whip through those mountains so hard. And the Bering Sea is some of the worst storms in the world. One of the top 7 worst places to fish. And people have died out there. Boats would be 1 minute there, and the next minute they're gone. So a great wind came up because in the sea here of Galilee, apparently 600 feet below sea level, and then you had the hills up along the side, which were 300 feet up, and you'd have the warm and the cold air come together and come swooping on down through from the west side, and it brings up the air, and you'd have storms, heavy storms hit. The white caps would hit. Can you imagine being in that boat right now? I hope you don't, but think about it. And you'd be saying to yourself, where is this coming from? Where's Jesus anyway? We were just with him. We just had a miracle. But they didn't. But they were true disciples because they are like you and I. They feared. I put myself in that boat this past week studying this. And I was thinking, you know, I'd be afraid too. I'd be afraid of all that water coming up over the sides and we'd be sinking. I'd be thinking, where is Jesus anyway? I know he loves me. I know he does miracles, but why doesn't he do something now? You ever been in that boat before? I'm sure we all have. And we could tell the story. And so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, that's which 3 to 4 miles, they were exhausted. And you know, when we devil tempts us most is like when Jesus was in the wilderness. He was exhausted. But that's a sign of a true believer. Because did they stop? No, they called out to the Lord. A true believer will follow Jesus. That all that, most of those people who wanted food and medical treatment, no, they just wanted the physical, the temporary. Okay, they were going after the god of their belly. And the idea is that the belly has the idea of the flesh satisfying the god of their belly. Okay, so when they had rowed 5 and 20, 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. It has the idea is that they saw this object coming to them very, very quickly, and they were thinking, my goodness, did I see a ghost? What is that coming toward us? Well, you know, I love what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. It says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, and Matthew 14:27, it says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Jesus is with us regardless. And, you know, verse 28, and then you had Peter. Peter was just like, okay, he was the spokesman of the group. He was the leader of the pack, so to speak. And he was thinking, okay, Lord, let me do this. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on water. He's saying, Lord, if you want to, I'll come out and meet you because I'm so excited that you're here. I love Peter because even though he got himself in trouble a lot, he still loved the Lord, you know. And so, and then I love what the Lord says, verse 29, he says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He didn't waste any time. He walked on water. You know, Jesus today can have us walk on water in faith. We can. I'm not suggesting anybody walk on water today. Okay, we'd probably drown. Okay, I try to do the doggy paddle, lay on my back and say, Lord, please forgive me for doing such a stupid thing and tempting you. That's one thing the Lord doesn't want us to do is to tempt him. So Peter went out there by faith. And I'm sure the disciples were like, okay, Peter, you go for it. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll be praying for you. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, that means it was out of control. It was blowing very hard. They were having a very bad hair day. He was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He took his eyes off the Lord. You know, and I'm sure we even heard about this story in Sunday school class, but it's very easy to take our eyes off the Lord. It's very easy to look at the life's problems around us. And why am I saying this? Because this week, some of us may go through some very heavy trials. It's like, as we all know, that we know in this life that once we have a victory, there is always trouble around the corner. And yet, Jesus has always been there for us. He says, be not troubled. I have a place for you in heaven. There are many mansions in heaven for us. He has many dwelling places for us. He has a place for us in John 14:1 that he is going to prepare for us. So this life is going by so very quickly. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou a little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And that's all it took, was just to doubt what the Lord had to say. And so right away they come back to the boat, and the storm's still going on. It hasn't stopped. But it's amazing how much God loves us and how much he cares about us. And, you know, he knew that at the mountain. He knew that when he was praying to his Father that this storm was going to happen. He knows all about our past, all about our future. And so it says here, moving on, he says, I love this. He says, verse 20, and he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. It's amazing because immediately has the idea. It just didn't take 15, 20 minutes. Immediately, supernaturally, to me, that's like another miracle. That boat went right to the shore, right to the shore. And then things just calm down. It's like Jesus takes us right there. It's like, you know, going through the bricks, going through that wood, like you used that illustration. He just went right there. He was there. He had broken through all that because he's our Lord. He's our Savior. So they were there. And each one of us can attest by the grace of God, you know, we go through these things. You know, years ago, we're going to talk about false disciples now. Years ago, my wife and I had a jewelry business. And we had some emeralds, real emeralds. And, you know, we worked very hard, saved up for it. We were going to sell some. And we met this delightful guy because he was in the jewelry business too. And he says, you know, you get some of your best emeralds. This is some years ago. In Peru. He goes, you know what they're doing now to try to falsify emeralds? He goes, you wouldn't believe it. I said, tell me. There's probably not just about everything. You know, I'm always learning something new. I thought I knew, but I don't. He says they take Coke bottles, Coca-Cola bottles, broken glass, and they paint it. And then they try to sell it as the real thing. And you get people coming in for these cruise lines. This is when we were in Alaska. He says, you know, and people buy it, think it's the real thing. He goes, never buy a piece of jewelry. I hate to say this from vendors and all because you don't know what you're getting. Never. Always get a second or third opinion. If they don't want to hold it for you, then you know it's they're trying to hide something. False believers are the same way. They won't go through what true believers go through. They won't follow the same Jesus. And here the Word of God tells us why. It says in verse 22, it says, the following day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea, those were the 15,000 or so people, saw that there was none other boat there, save that the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So, number one, they were clueless. They had no idea. Where did Jesus go? People who aren't saved aren't following Jesus, number one. Number two, they're looking for him for all the wrong reasons. And number three, when they find out, this is interesting, we'll get to that in a minute. It says here in verse 23, how about there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after that the Lord had given thanks. So Tiberias was on the other side. Tiberias was more in the north eastern corner. Tiberias was more down in the western southern part of the Sea of Galilee. So they were waiting. And verse 24, and it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Well, we heard he was going there. Now we're going to see if he's there or not. So verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, our teacher, when comest thou hither? In other words, it wasn't a very polite gesture. They were saying, where have you been? What is going on, Jesus? You left us behind. Why didn't you take us with you? You ever get around people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ get angry with you? He says, where is your Jesus at anyway? I don't see him anywhere. Why are you following this Jesus? Why did you take that boat to go do what he told you to do? What are you doing in church today? Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bibles? Why do you go to marriages that celebrate, you know, a wonderful thing of marriage? And why do you call yourself Christian anyway? What makes you different than my Jesus? Remember, there are a lot of Jesuses out there. There's a lot of false prophets, and it's on the increase. And it's everywhere. That's why we have to make sure that our salvation is sure. And I know mine is. I know yours is, because we have the Word of God and our spirit bears witness with one another. But remember, it can be like between the wheat and the tares. It looks so similar in so many ways, but it's a world of difference. Listen to this. Verse 26, Jesus says, answered him, them. Now Jesus answers them. He doesn't have to answer them like he did with Pontius Pilate, because remember Pontius Pilate said, what is truth anyway? And by then, Jesus, after the third question, didn't say anymore, because went beyond the reason that Jesus had to talk about the way, the truth, and the life. He said, verily, verily, and has the idea of truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves that were filled. You weren't concerned about me. You were concerned about filling your bellies. You have people today are more concerned about themselves. Selfishness. They want what they want. And by golly, if they can't have it, oh, they'll do anything to get what they want. Just watch people today. They're all around us. But we shouldn't be like the world. And I know that if we're following Christ, Jesus says, seek ye first, the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness will be added unto you. In other words, seek him first. They weren't. They were seeking the physical, not the spiritual. Labor, verse 27, not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, it will be sealed. It will never be unbroken. It has the idea of a deposit. When we are saved, according to Ephesians chapter 1, and it gives us the list of our inheritance that we have there, and I think I said that last week or a few weeks ago, do ourselves a favor and read Ephesians chapter 1. It'll give us the, I believe there's about 14 steps of our inheritance that we have in heaven. Someday when we feel kind of down and out, lift yourself up, encourage yourself. You know, let that love just come to the brim, fill you up, and just overflow you. Tell the people about the Lord, what he's done in your life. So that seal is the idea of that we have a guaranteed inheritance in heaven that can never be taken away. It's sealed with God's promise. And it's the same word here. So it's sealed from the Father. Jesus knew that because he had prayed in the mountain. He already knew what was going to happen the following day. It was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning that this storm hit. They were dead tired. They're exhausted. Thinking about the true disciples, these people, God was giving them the grace to understand, look, you can have this, but you don't want it. So I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm sure we've all had to tell people the truth. And it hurts, but we have to tell them. This is the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. And then they answered. It's amazing what a cold, hard, ungodly heart will say. It says, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? It's amazing. You know, I think we're cursed as a people. Because remember back in with Adam and Eve, what are the two things that they were told to do? Work the garden and have fellowship with God. I think people have left out that fellowship with God, and they're still working the garden. They're still working, and they're working their way to heaven. okay, Jesus, what do I do to work my way to heaven? What do I do? What works do I do, Jesus? We saw how wonderful you are. We want to be your disciples too. No, they were false disciples. Thank God we're saved by grace through faith. True disciples, you know how hard it is. You're working hard every day. Faith without works is dead, right? We have a faith, but we continue on. We're not one of those bleacher sitters, those people who just criticize those that are in the race. We're in the race. We're running the race. And when we fall, we help. We get each other back up. And we're praying for one another. And so they missed the boat, so to speak. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And it went right over their head. Right over their head. And so Jesus was the one that the Father sent. He says, I'm about to do my Father's business. These miracles were not just for like, oh, I think I'll turn on the TV set or turn on the computer or the radio and think, oh, wow, I'm getting an emotional bliss. Because you got to be careful about music and other things out there. If it doesn't exhort and lift the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes emotional. And oh, you cannot trust emotions. Do not trust them, because they can deceive you. Trust in the real Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit can lift you up and fill you. You have the Holy Spirit, right? We got the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have too much of the flesh that weighs us down. We need the Spirit of God to fill us. Fill me up, Lord. They weren't listening to what Isaiah had said thousands of years ago. I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 55 verses 1 through 4. Isaiah said this, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto the waters, and he hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that you which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make you everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander of the people. And it's referring to the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Okay, the new covenant. Well, what is the new covenant? It's the New Testament. We were talking about the Hebrew roots, and that's a cult in itself. And we're talking about that in Sunday school, a small group of us. And I do have copies of that paper if you want one before you leave today. But it talks about all the falsities. Be careful. They're talking about Hebrew roots, talks about keeping on to the Mosaic covenant. And they're saying because of Paul writing his epistles, they're full of pagan origins, which is false. And if you start doubting God's word in one way, you're going to start doubting everything. And the doubts come to Jesus Christ. Stay away from the false teachers. People like that today are gravitated to what sounds good, feels good. Hebrews roots, the bottom line is, it just makes you feel like, oh, I'm more spiritual. I could be a Jew as well as a Christian. But you know, Jesus, he fulfilled the law. Galatians says right there in Galatians 3:27 that he came and he fulfilled the law. But yet you have the same false teachings in Jesus' day, same people that were running after what they wanted instead of what God wanted. So be wary, be for sure. And thank God for those disciples, because you know what? They stayed with Jesus. As we'll see here next week, we will see that there were many more people that came. There were the Jewish leaders that came up who started questioning Christ after all that he did. You know, and I'll stop here. God has done a miracle in our life. You know, people would define a miracle that which is something beyond nature or something that is supernatural. Well, it is when it came to what Jesus did, feeding the 15,000. It did when it came to him walking on water. No one can ever duplicate that. No one ever has. So we believe in it because by faith, through grace, we believe it. This Bible, I would die for it. You would die for it. Okay? If God called us to do that, we would. What have we got? You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. We have a home in heaven. It's just a breath away. Thank God. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you, Lord, for miracles, real miracles. And we thank you for the blood that is for real and it cleanses us and it forgives us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for life that you give more abundantly. We thank you for all the blessings. Oh, you have blessed us more than we could ever ask or think and more than we ever deserve. We thank you, God, for the cold weather outside. We have to look for the good in everything, even though we know we don't like it. But we thank you for that they're part of the seasons, part of time, and everything under the heaven. Like it says in Ecclesiastes, we give thanks, Lord. And we pray for those who are false, who don't believe you, but are after the god of their belly, the flesh. Lord, help them to realize that this world is passing away, and behold, all things will become new. Lord, for those that are passing away, there's a place called hell, and that's the last place that you would want anybody to go, but it was set there, set apart for those who choose not to follow you. And we thank you, Lord, that we're in that boat today. And Lord, we accept that you, Jesus, is our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins and the death and the burial and the resurrection. We believe this. This is foundational to our faith. We thank you, Lord, for a week, a new week that you can give us. And Lord, there are many prayer requests, as Paul has already mentioned, and others that were not mentioned. We just bring before those before you as well. And we thank you so much. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for the good fight, Lord, that we have. And we are thank you that you're the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.